Thanks for that, Alvin. Oh, good evening, everyone. Good to see you tonight. Let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 2. And appreciate those who ministered today. A couple of our people went and just supported the funeral of Margaret Abador, and I know some of you sang and appreciate that. I know that ministered to the family, and Brother Jewel was a blessing to the family as he led that service. And appreciate your prayers as well for Pastor and Mrs. Fisher. They got in yesterday afternoon and been able to spend some time with them already. And I know that he's looking forward to being here on the weekend. And just continue to pray for them, you know, as they settle in. And they've been in country for the last 5 or 6 days, but it's been a while since they've traveled, and so obviously that sometimes it takes its toll, and so just continue to pray for them both, especially as they look forward to spending that time with us. And we're just with Pastor Fisher this morning, had some lunch with him, and he was just mentioning how, you know, the last time he was here, how different the world was back then. It was 2019. And, you know, after all that, who knew what things were going to hit the world, and then even personal things. And it's amazing how, you know, when you go through life and sort of you look back at different reference points in your life, just how many things change over time. And yet, when we think about it as Christians, there's many things that do change, but there are many things that just should remain stable and continue. And he just said he's glad that he comes back after all of the things that he went through, and there's still Good Shepherd Baptist Church, and there's still Leadership Conference, and there's still the Word of God to be preached, and there's still people to minister to, and he was excited about just seeing our church, and it's a blessing that way. So Acts chapter 2, and we'll read verses 41 to 47, and you know, we have the opportunity in the coming week to be able to minister to different people from different parts of Australia and different parts of the world, even some flying from New Zealand, some flying from PNG, some flying from the US and other places, Thailand, and then all across our nation, some from Tasmania, some from just across town, some from New South Wales, a couple from Victoria, and just many, many people that'll come along. And, you know, I think part of it is they come with an expectation that they're going to get something from the Lord. They come with an expectation that they're going to come, and they've invested their time, their money, their all of that to come along and be blessed and be helped. And certainly that's what our desire is, isn't it? We want to make sure that as we work towards having this week, that it's not just a tradition that we hold, that we certainly want to see God work. But I think one of the blessings that we can offer and we can give those who are coming is just to see a church at unity. You know, you really sense in a place when you come along what the feel is in a church, and you can sense fairly quickly how the church works and how the church is. And I know when we come to conference, we want to put our best foot forward, right? And sometimes we can, for a little while there, sort of just play the part and be there. But I think it's important that we come with a sense of unity and a sense of oneness in the Lord together. And the early church had that. In reading the book of Acts, really it's a history of the early church. It's recorded for us all of the happenings when the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven, and suddenly he had left his disciples now to be his representatives here on earth and to start the work that he has called them to. And there's many things that we can learn from the early church. There's many things that we can discuss. You can see that all of the miracles, all of the growth, the immediate growth that the church had because of the power of the Holy Spirit. But you also understand just the practical things about the church. And it's amazing as you read through that, just a couple of the traits of the early church. But I think one of them that we've got to just focus on tonight is just the unity of the early church. That they had a sense of togetherness. They had a sense of what the work of God was, what was important and what was needful. And we're going to note some things here this evening. And look at verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so it's an amazing start to this thing that God had instituted called the church. We read in the first verse right there that there were added to them that day 3,000 souls. Now, sometimes we can overcomplicate church and we can overcomplicate our gathering, and we have means. We want to be able to meet needs, and we want to be able to have some things in place that will then allow us to meet people and to welcome them in, and all of that. And all of that's needful. But you see that the early church had no real program. They just were doing the plain work, and the plain work resulted in just these supernatural works. The 3,000 coming to the Lord there. And yet what's notable for me as I read through this passage today was just the singleness of heart that was found in them. The unity, the simplicity of just being together and being at one. And we know that in different places of Scripture that really the one that was the driver of that in the church was the Holy Spirit. You know, he's the one that gives us a bond of unity. He's the one that calls us to endeavor in that unity. But he's the one that as we follow him and as we allow him to lead us and guide us, brings us into a place of unity. But there was a couple of things here in this passage that I want to highlight that they were unified over. I think it would be good for us to just be reminded of tonight. And firstly, we find it in verse 42, and simply they continued steadfastly in a couple of things. And what you're going to find, he's going to cover doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. And what I'm going to say, firstly, is they had unity over spiritual exercises. These were spiritual activities. These were spiritual things that they were doing. And don't forget that as we come together and as we move forward as a church and as we gather and have these different things, that all in all, this is a spiritual exercise. You know, it's not just about coming together and then we go through the whole program of the church. These the things that we do and the things that God has called us to are spiritual things. And notice what these spiritual activities are as he lists them. He starts off with doctrine. And so they were unified in the spiritual exercise of teaching doctrine, of understanding what the Bible teaches. And that's really what doctrine is what does the Bible teach? What does the Word of God say? And, you know, we summarize that somewhat in a statement of faith. We summarize that somewhat in different means, our values. You know, we identify that as a church. But really what it is really just doctrine, of understanding that we come together and we are unified in the spiritual exercise of teaching doctrine. That's why the preaching of the Word of God is finds an important place. It's central to our gathering together. And as much as many times we might hear the messages preached and very similarly and very perhaps repeatedly at times, it's because we're ingrained with the spiritual exercise of just teaching doctrine. That's why when we welcome people in and eventually we get to know people and we understand perhaps their background, perhaps where they what they think of God, and we start perhaps with that inquiry about what do they believe about salvation, are they saved, then we quickly go into what's their attitude toward and their understanding of the Bible and all of that, and we go through and we have something that we call starting point. But all of that is to do with this one thing, spiritual exercise of just teaching doctrine. That's where we find our unity. That's where we find a great foundation in the unity that we have, this spiritual exercise of teaching doctrine. But notice what's tagged with that is fellowship. Notice he says, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And that's interesting that those two are put hand in hand. And I think that whole idea of fellowship, of our time together, it ought to be centered around the knowledge of the Word of God. That's got to come together. Fellowship, when it's simply just being together and talking about everything else, that's fellowship in a very, very basic thing. But biblical fellowship is often related to just being around the Word of God, of fellowshipping under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and directing our conversations and directing our time together. And that's why it differs, the church differs to just the other different institutions in the world. They bandy around other causes, they bandy around temporal causes. But actually as a church, we band around and our fellowship is based on eternal things. And so that spiritual exercise of fellowship, and that's why it's also important that we gather together to be taught. It's not just simply that we just have little individual times, and it's important that we have our own walk with God, but actually God has called us to times of together. That doctrine and fellowship go hand in hand, and I've never seen a Christian truly thrive without those two things in their lives. You know, they can go around I've seen a lot of Christians who have great knowledge of the Bible, who have great understanding of things perhaps that they've read and maybe researched and maybe studied, but there's no output, there's no practical exercise of that. And so it's got to come with the spiritual exercise of doctrine and fellowship. The things that we learn are meant to be passed on. The things that we start to understand are meant to be applied as we minister to each other. And that's a spiritual exercise. And so don't forget that our gatherings together, like tonight, like we're going to have next week, that fellowship around the Word of God, and it's going to be a little bit intensified. We're going to have somewhat more messages than perhaps we're used to for the rest of the year. You know, we're going to get into the Word of God starting on the Monday night, and there's going to be two preachers. And then all day Tuesday morning, we're going to have a couple of sessions. We're going to have three and then two again in the evening. And some of you are going, whoa, wait a minute. But listen, that's part of that spiritual exercise. And it should be something that we cling to. And that's why it's important at times, because it lends itself to unity. It lends itself to that working of unity in our gatherings, in our church. And notice the next thing they say is, and in breaking of bread. Now, some might suggest that this is in reference to the Lord's Supper, and it could be, or simply, as it later will say, notice in verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. It could just simply mean they were fellowshipping in their eating together. This was really an extension of their fellowship. This wasn't just doctrine and fellowship. This was now eating of bread. And that really, throughout the course of Jesus's ministry, he often did that as a means of just sitting with others and getting to know them. He did that as a form of intimacy, of closeness. And, you know, we're living more and more in a society where that connectedness with each other is missing. We're living more and more isolated. You know, we thought it was just COVID, but actually it's just an attitude. And we're becoming more and more that way. We think we have other means of just being connected. We'll text, and that's okay. We can make a phone call, and that's okay. But doesn't replace that time together being in each other's lives. And that's what he was meaning there in that breaking of bread. It was an exercise. It was a spiritual exercise of relationship with each other, of getting to know. And I'll be honest with you, you know, there's times where we can buy into a little bit of that isolationist mindset. It's easy to excuse ourselves in the busyness of our schedules to then go, you know, I don't have time to visit. I don't have time to get to know others. But actually, it's a biblical imperative, and it's something that is a spiritual exercise. See, being at the table, the same table with someone, it's symbolic of their familiarity and their togetherness. That's why it's great to have fellowship lunches. It's great to have those times where we invite each other over for meals. It's great to have a coffee together. It's great to have those face-to-face times. And it's something that I know, for me, God's working on me continually. You know, recently, and I'm just being transparent tonight, God just really brought that home in my heart. And you know, there was just a rebuke from the Lord that as the pastor, I'm just not doing that enough. And so my wife and I, we've been able to, over the course of the last few weeks, most Fridays, been able to visit with one of our families and some of our individuals. And I'll tell you what, I don't know what I was thinking, but I was just missing that. And how fun it's been, and how encouraging that's been to be able to do that and to sit with those that we were just getting to know. And we had to remind ourselves that actually, you know, you haven't been here for a long time. We've been here for nearly 3 years now. And time's flown, but that's not a long time. And I need to just get on that, just breaking bread. And by the way, we did a lot of eating too. So that's a blessing. Hey, we're Baptists, by the way. And so we love it. We get a chance, but it's a spiritual exercise. And the last one, he simply says, and in prayers. You know, one of the ways that one of the things that they got around in unity is just this thing of just prayer. So it was a blessing to have that half night on prayer. And I know that not everyone can make it, but I would implore you, come along. We have Wednesday nights, and really our main exercise on our Wednesday nights is prayer. There's other times in the week. You know, we're trying to have our men's prayer on the Friday morning. I know the ladies are still trying to keep that going. But take the time, and I understand that prayer doesn't have to be, and as we've covered the last few times, prayer is powerful when we do it in private, but prayer is also powerful when we do it together. And it's important. And I want to tell you that we ought to just make it a habit to come along when the church is praying together. We ought to just make it a habit to come along and perhaps invite someone to a Wednesday night. What a novel idea. Why don't we just go, hey, you know, we have another service. In fact, I'll pick you up. Maybe let's have a meal together before that. I know there's not many options. It's probably going to be Macca's, but, you know, we'll pray for forgiveness after that. But at least we're going to be together, and it's a spiritual exercise, and that was part of the unity of the early church. Notice the next thing. Not only were there spiritual exercises, but they continued steadfastly. Verse 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And I think Brother Nathan did a great job last week explaining the whole thing of gifts and all of the sign gifts. And yet what we find in the early church was there were just some a rallying around, a unity around supernatural events. There were things that you just couldn't explain except God did that. You know, God did that. And they got to see it. They all saw God's working, and it filled them with the fear of the Lord. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And you know, sometimes we can discount a little bit of God's working, and you know, we approach times like we're going to approach next week, and we're really seeking God. But you know, I think sometimes we rob ourselves into not asking God for more, into not expecting that God can do it anytime He pleases. You know, why do we save it for conference? Why do we save it for missions trips? Why do we save it for youth camps? Why do we save it for all of those and expect God then, but we won't expect God on a Wednesday night? We'll just rock up a little bit and just sort of come along. And yet what was part of their unity was they could talk about how God did signs and wonders amongst them. When was the last time we spoke about that? When was the last time we spoke about God's power to answer prayer and what God did? And you remember that time. And you know, it was great on Friday night. We just opened the floor up a little bit to say, to ask, you know, let's give some praise points about what God has done. I'm glad that there were those who spoke up about how God used conference in their lives and how God solidified some things then and how God worked, and we saw God do marvelously. But why is that not the point in case more often? God doesn't just work then. God can just work, period. And we ought to have a faith in us to say that God can. And they rallied around that, just supernatural events. You know, it's good to have unity in what God is doing in our midst. It's good to commemorate and to memorialize and to seek for God's working, but it's good to just rally around and have unity around the workings of God. Not only do we see these spiritual exercises, supernatural events, but then notice verses 44 to 45. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And here they just had sacrificial endeavors. They had unity around sacrificial endeavors. They understood some that there were needs. They rally around the needs of others and the needs of the church. And they sought to be a benefit to one another and not withhold things from doing good. Okay, they sacrificed it. And the means that they were all willing to give accordingly, they had an attitude that we were all in that. You know, I love what 1 Corinthians 10:24 says, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. You can feel that in a church. You can sense that when the group's together, when the church is together, and they're just willing to rally around the need, rally around those that have a particular need, rally around a need that perhaps is brought up that's church and God's work related. And so they were in unity in sacrificial endeavors. Fourthly, verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. And notice this second part, and breaking bread from house to house. And it's sort of related to what we had already touched upon, but he says it twice, doesn't he? And I think he's trying to emphasize that even in social encouragement. You know, I think sometimes we have an attitude about church that it's just a one-week event. That it's just an event that we come to when it's scheduled. Can I correct you doctrinally? The church isn't an event. The church isn't a building. The church is us. Which means that we're the church whether we're here or not. That means we're the church as we go through the week. We're the church. And he's saying there that they went from house to house. They in that social setting, they went to someone's place and they broke bread and they got to know and they got to be in their lives and they got to develop friendship. They got to develop relationship and they got out of that unity. And they were together at those times of gathering, but they were also in each other's homes. And unity was not hindered by their geography. And so we should not underestimate just the power it is to just be willing to go out of our way at times to go and get to know someone. And so they had unity because of that social encouragement. But then lastly and really quickly, but very importantly, verse 47, Notice how it starts praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily as such as should be saved. And lastly, they just had unity in Savior exalting. They just exalted the Savior. That's really what it was about. You know, we just had some prayer there with our deacons, and I think all of them said it in their own way, but each one prayed about unity. Each one prayed about the unity of the body, and each one prayed about the fact that really who we have in common is God. And you know, we all are different. We're all unique. There's some that we get along with a little bit more. There's some that we find common interests. But you know, the greatest bond that we have is the fact that we have God and that we are His and that we have a Savior worth exalting. You know, they found their unity in a worthy Savior who in the end was worthy to be praised. In 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, they met and they gathered because their fellowship was with the Lord. It was about Him. It was about coming together and lifting up praise. And, you know, it wasn't just in the songs, it was in their conversation, it was in their manner of living, but they praised God. And I'm saying is, may our unity be around Christ. Let's all exalt Christ when we gather. Let's exalt Him as we socialize through the course of the week with one another, as we check in and we go in and we have a great care, and all of it, it's the heart of Christ to love. And let our conversation be all about Jesus and the things of eternity. And then the Bible simply says that the Lord added. You know, as the day draws to that coming again, I think there's going to be a greater need for societies to have that place of refuge. You know, they're not going to find it in churches that are divided. They're going to find it in churches that are unified. They're going to find it in churches that are filled with the Savior's presence. They're going to find it in a church that's filled with love. They're going to find it in a church that's filled with that sacrificial attitude and just the heart to want to sacrifice to meet a need. They're going to find it in a church that will teach the right doctrine, that'll teach the salvation of mankind through the grace of God. And they're going to find it in a church that's just simply unified. And next week we get an opportunity to model that. And so I hope that we would come with a heart to want to be a blessing that way. And let's work together as we endeavor for the gospel to just make a difference in our day. And we praise God for that. All right, thanks.